The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another, and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
Side studies.
All righty. Well, today we're going to do something different because I'm going to talk.
Nice.
Well, I do talk, but I'm going to talk first.
But welcome back.
You should have seen the look I got on Rick's face when I said, I'm going to talk. Well, he's like, yeah, you talk.
Yeah.
Sure. So, hello, I'm Ralph, straight out of Compton, represent. The Podfather's not here today.
He's not.
No.
He had something great to do with his wife. She got a grant, and they're going celebrating that today. So, Tiziana took over earlier, and I'm going to take on this second spot with her help. And we're going to talk about debunking. We've had some text messages coming through about people debunking things in the Bible. And so we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit. So and introducing next to me is Rick Big Daddy Carter.
I like how you say that. Represent it. Oh,
yeah. Tiziana, mom so hard.
Put your laundry away. Don't leave it in the dryer. Go put it away right now.
Right. And Billy, I Candy Kimsey.
Like a Jolly Rancher jail in marshmallow. Makes no sense. And that actually exists.
Like I a found deep fried them. Oreo.
Yeah. So I found them for my daughters for Easter. And it's a marshmallow with blue raspberry Jolly Rancher gel inside it. Disgusting.
Oh, but they eat it. Sounds really gross.
There was a gum called Quench that had that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, now they have a marshmallow.
All righty. Well, so,
gums always bothered me because it seems it's a textural issue. Don't do that to me. Don't have a gum then with this weird gooey center that squirts.
I don't need a squirt.
No. Listen. I don't want it in my mouth.
Well, you've seen the Nerds commercial where what's the bear or whatever, the gummy bear is getting rained on.
Oh, yeah.
And they make them they put them in a little bag. That's another one that's kind of the same thing as a texture thing.
Yeah, it's a texture thing.
The gummy nerd thing.
Yes.
What's crazy about that is I got my daughter an experiment little kit for Christmas years and years ago. And that was actually one of the things was you took Nerds and made like jelly and you put them together, and then now we have what we called them nerd turds at the time, but they're actually
and there it is, folks. Yeah. I've lost control already. Just come on. Started this my first one, and,
but anyway. So enough of candy all right. talk.
And we've also got Rocket Man Andy.
Pacow. He stepped out. He'll be right back.
This is all his fault, too, right?
Because he's the one that started this whole conversation.
Yeah, well, he sent a text with a video.
Mm-hmm, from Dan McClellan.
Oh, it is. We have to get his input.
Let's debunk this and let's debunk that.
Well, he was talking about contradictions in the Bible.
Right.
And how sometimes you have one text that says one thing and then later on a text says another thing. And how are you going to, you know, can those things be reconciled or can they not be reconciled? And so then he launches into this whole thing. We might just have to stitch the TikTok somewhere into the episode. He launches into this whole thing about the actual manuscripts of the Bible that we have. Like, we have a Bible, but where did it come from? And talks about copying and how sometimes certain editors added things or took things away that they didn't think belonged or this or that. So sometimes we have multiple copies of the book of John, for example, and, you know, this one says this thing and this one says the other thing. How do we know which one's the right thing? And how do we, or as Dan McClellan, I think, was suggesting, you know, how do we ask ourselves, how did the culture of the people who changed it influence the way that they changed the Bible? And then so we started having this conversation via text about how do we as Christians, how do we reconcile that? How do we live with the contradictions that exist in some of these texts, I think was...
Exactly. Yeah. So what I want to do is I want to start it off by saying this. Many of these things have been proven and unproven by scholars and scientists and this person and that person. In your walk, my opinion is read what you can, listen to what you can, and then you're going to have to make a decision. And much of that's going to have to be faith-based, where when I don't understand something, I just take it and say, okay, that's one I'm putting on the shelf, and I'm going to believe it for what's behind it. Because of just the thing you said, these were written, most of this, except for a few things, most of this was written after Christ died. So this is all.
No, all of it.
History. Well, yeah. And then you have different people writing things and cross-referencing, because there are, if you look at the different types of manuscripts, and there's about three different types, there's 10,000 of each of these writings. And Christ taught in Greek and Aramaic. So there's a lot of ways of interpreting. Mm. And you have to remember, too, when you go to talk about the stories, we're talking, and we've said this many times, what was said in another time, mm-hmm. With completely different roles in life, completely different values. I mean, we're talking on our last podcast about the anxiety in kids because of what's going on today with cell phones. Well, back then they didn't have cell phones. Most of people back then did not have an education. Now, what I'm
saying, they didn't even have rotary phones, actually.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by education is not that they were dumb, because they weren't, because they had skills. They learned. They had trades. They had skills. They could build things.
They had the same brains we have.
Exactly.
But 90% of people in Jesus' time were illiterate.
Exactly. So everything started off word of mouth. And then how long before things were written down and then transcribed? And there are notes that historians and scholars and pastors all have said, hey, some of the scribes took liberties. Some of them made mistakes. I mean, they're humans. They're copying something and they make a mistake. Unless somebody makes a mistake, and let's say he's the head guy writing this, and he's writing something that 50 other different people are going to copy, and it's 3 a.m. without a light bulb but a candle, and he's 70 years old, and you know, back then they couldn't clean your eyes like they can now.
Yeah.
So they made mistakes.
Here's an interesting fact. We have something like we've approximately 5,700 copies of manuscripts from the Old Testament. Or from the New Testament manuscripts written in Greek. There's more written in Coptic and other ancient languages like Latin. So we have about 5,700 manuscripts. What that means is fragments or complete documents. So one of the pieces that we have is a fragment of John, and it was written on the back of a receipt and then thrown in the trash. Because paper wasn't just like something you bought. Paper was made it was very difficult to make paper, and it was even more difficult to make parchment. And so people didn't throw paper away, they reused it. So what happened is at some point somebody wrote down the Gospel of John, and then that piece of paper got turned over and used again as something else. So we have that. That's the closest to the time of Christ fragment of manuscript that we have from approximately 125 CE, right? So we have, so these manuscripts we have, they vary from scraps the size of a credit card to pages to full-blown manuscripts. We have 5,700 of them, and not two are alike. Every single one is different.
So I missed the intro. There's not a lot of us tonight, 5, which is big for a podcast, but not that big for ours. Is anybody here like of the school tonight that the Bible is completely inspired?
I believe the Bible is yes, I believe the Bible is inspired. Let me explain. Okay. I believe the Bible is inspired, and which means it's written by man. God said, these are what I want the people to believe. And they went and talked to the people in the way that they would understand. Jesus talked in parables because he talked in a way that people could understand. The Ten Commandments were written by God.
Mm-hmm. But he wrote it through a person?
Everything else was written by man, inspired by God.
Right.
That seems like a reasonable view to me, but some people are the literalists, you know what I mean?
Well, and this is what I'm trying to say.
There's too many fingers in the mix, and there's too many interpretations. And let's say every document we had said exactly the same thing. So all of these thousands of documents that we have, Let's say they all said the same thing and you could cross-reference all of them. And they've cross-referenced and more than 80% are 100% on, and the other ones they say are interpretations. Even if we could cross-reference all of these and show that they all said exactly the same thing, you would interpret different than you would interpret different than you would interpret different than you. Sure. And then somebody else's religion and somebody else's religion. And then I fall asleep at a tree one day and decide I'm going to write a book for my people. So even if everything was written the same, it's going to be interpreted differently. So at a certain point, like I said in the beginning, is do your study, do your research. And for those things that you don't understand, well, then have faith. Mm-hmm. And those, and set those aside until you can come back to them. But I don't think I think when we all die, we're going to find out we were wrong about most of it, you know. And especially when it comes to, so the biggest question that I think people still hang their hat on, especially people that don't believe, is this timeline of how many years you've been on the earth. Well, who cares? Who cares if it's 6,000 years or 100,000 years or if the earth is 6 billion years? Who cares? You know, Christ was here, and in my opinion, I believe in Jesus, and I always have, as far back as I can remember. And you can call it indoctrination, and you can call it anything you want, but at a certain point, I made a choice, and my choice is that's the way I believe. But I do understand there's a lot of things. Well, he and I go back and forth about a lot of things. And that's the great thing about this podcast and about human beings is we can all be wrong together.
Yeah. So what we do have to reckon with as Christians is that when you have these multiple fragments of manuscripts, some of them are whole, you're right, by the time the Middle Ages roll around, a lot of the fragments are much more similar, but in terms of what they have written down. But oftentimes it's a period that was different here. There's a paragraph that doesn't, you know, line up here because Greek, by the way, has no ancient Greek. Ancient Greek had no capitals.
You want to know something I've been doing?
And no paragraph breaks.
Which is, wow.
And you have Jesus teaching in Greek and Aramaic. Right. And the apostles going around to other lands and learning other languages and having to transcribe it into another language while they're talking to a new people.
Yeah.
And then sometimes 100 or 200 years goes by. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the Jewish Bible, which is finally finalized in about 100 AD. I don't do CE. you did that. I was shocked. And nothing personal. I was just shocked. That's the first
time. I used CE, Common Era, instead of After Death. Uh-huh,
yeah.
Yeah. No, I use BCE and CE just because it's when I'm talking about history and I'm talking about earth history and I'm talking about things
I saw a scientist on, I forget his name. He's a... He's a physicist and he's got a mustache and dark curly hair. I'm trying to think of his name, I can't think of it. But he said, listen, I still use BC because that's what everybody uses.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I think I use BCE and CE because when I started school to study the Bible, that's what they used. Because when I started school, it was just last year. Yeah, and so since it was
After Death and BC. Yeah. So that's what he uses.
Right.
And I think a lot of them do. But
it makes no never mind to me. I don't care. Yeah. Use whatever you want.
Yeah. So
I know what you mean either way.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? So and then the Christian Bible, sometime between 300 and 500. Was put together, but still things were changed and moved around and this was taken out and that was put in. And then the Catholic Church put their finger in it in about 320 and they wanted to have their spin on it. And everybody's doing this because all of these things were just starting.
Yeah.
And it was, it wasn't until.
You want to know what's a big fat bummer? My very most favorite story in John of the woman caught in adultery and Jesus draws in the sand and says, he without sin cast the first stone. That story's not in our oldest copies of John.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The oldest complete copies of John that we have from like 200 CE, that story's not in there. So it's like, okay, did somebody add it later? Is it that somebody found out about that story and added it later? Or did someone else do that and they thought it sounded like something Jesus would do and put it in there?
Some of Mark is the same thing.
And that goes that also goes back to the oral tradition because not everything got written down.
Yeah.
So let's say that you had oral tradition. Let's say that you had 100 stories in oral tradition. Well, they probably wrote down about 30 or 40 of them. And said, that one doesn't need to be in here. And then somebody said, hey, I remember hearing this, or I remember hearing this, and it got written down different. So,
Well, there's also manuscripts we don't have. So like when we talk about the Gospels, we talk about how Mark was the first and how Matthew and Luke have a lot of stuff from Mark, and then John's totally different. And then Matthew and Luke have some stuff that others don't have.
The M,
they call
the
that
L,
source
the
Q, exactly.
And then the Q. Yeah.
Right. So there's this suggestion that there might be.
I began to chart the Synoptic Gospel.
Well, they've been charted.
No, well, I'm saying I'm charting them and to compare them, and they're all mixed around.
Here you go. Here's somebody's already done it for you. Here's the numbers.
Well, I'm doing it on my own.
But here's the thing. Like, so when I was, again, you know, when they were putting the Bible together, like you're saying, like 300 CE, whatever, they had four versions of these Gospels, and they were four versions that were circulating in different communities, because you're talking about there's no printing press, there's no whatever. So someone writes this book down and then has it in their community of 8, 10, 12 people. Well, someone else's community wants it, so they have to make a copy of it. And then they have to hand it to that community. And so, and we're talking about, if you've ever looked at Rome and Palestine and where all that is on the map, we're talking about a big chunk of space. There's Greece, there's Turkey in there. So there's all these different communities that were experiencing the Christ story and having it resonate and choosing this life. So they had these four Gospels that were in different communities, and they didn't want anybody to feel left out. So they knew when they put them in that they were four different Gospels that belonged to four different special communities, but they didn't want anybody to feel like their beloved story was left out. So they went ahead and put all four of them in so nobody would get left out.
You know that Matthew, he doesn't show up until like chapter 9 in his own book.
Oh.
So 8.5 chapters. Couldn't have come necessarily directly from him because he didn't show up till later. If his story is chronological, he didn't show up till chapter 9.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So you begin to, when you start looking at it, and I've just recently have gone through these things and seen some major things that I have never seen before and began to put some major pieces together, you begin to look at it and go, well, this is kind of interesting, because it's like there are certain things that, like even Matthew, based on his words of the Transfiguration moment, Matthew wasn't there, but he's the only one to write about it.
Well, so, I'm going to go back to what I keep going back to is these were divinely inspired.
Well, you know that part that was talked about in that written book was actually written about the Old Testament?
Well, there's a lot of things in there that point to Old Testament and times before that. So it's but I believe it was divinely inspired.
I got you.
I believe it was written by man. But let's just go back to Shakespeare, like I've said before. I don't think Shakespeare wrote everything that he is credited with. Mm. I do believe...
With Kevin Bacon, right?
I do believe that he took stories and he made them better.
That's possible.
So in that way, he was a genius, because he wrote things in such a way, and even if it wasn't him, it was his partner that wrote him. Someone put those stories together in such a way that we are still doing these things today. And it's the same thing with the Bible.
And we still attribute it to Shakespeare. Well, it's the same thing with the Pauline epistles. You know, most scholars can agree on the undisputed Pauline epistles. We know for sure that Paul wrote these. The Greek is the same. The kind of theological material is the same. And then like Paul, then Timothy, and I think Philemon maybe. Most scholars are like, Paul didn't write this. Somebody else wrote it and put Paul's name on it. You know, it's called pseudepigraphal writings.
And
that's a normal
thing
to do. And
they also had people that followed them and wrote with them and had, you know, secretaries. For a better, lack
same
of a
with
better
Hebrews.
Word.
Hebrews, same way. Everybody thinks Paul wrote it, but they're not real sure.
Well, and they're not. And you got to remember, too, people, as they grow older, change their views, change the way they speak, especially if they're speaking out of Jerusalem for many years and they're in another country and learning that. When you go to people from Moldova that have moved here.
But they don't get dumber. The other Pauline epistles is not as intelligent as the undisputed Pauline epistles. It's not as good. It's like his writing got worse.
Right, but I'm just saying things like that did change.
Yeah.
Are you tired of compromising when it comes to protecting your valuable firearms? Then let us tell you about Carolina Cases, your ultimate destination for hard plastic, impact-proof pistol cases. Carolina Cases are TSA approved and are crafted with high-quality foam, ensuring maximum protection for your firearms during transport or storage. At Carolina Cases, they understand the importance of safeguarding your investments. Carolina Cases provide unparalleled durability, keeping your pistol safe from impact and damage. So hop on over to www.carolinacases.net to explore their wide range of pistol cases designed to meet your specific needs. Don't settle for less. With Carolina Cases, you can ensure your firearms are safely stored, preserve your peace of mind, and protect what matters most. Enter code BUROWS at checkout to receive free shipping.
It's hard. And so then we're left with this question, because we're not in here debating as scholars, right? We're in here debating as believers.
But are we?
Because we all believe, right? So like then the question becomes, how do you continue to love and study and appreciate this sacred text as being inspired by God and still live and reckon with these challenges that it maybe was changed at some point, that the stories we wound up with weren't exactly like the original stories and this and that? You know, what do you do? How do you live with that?
Well, I think that you study and you come up with your own conclusion and then you have faith about the rest and move on.
Yeah, so agreed.
The number one thing in this is there's only two things as Christians we're supposed to do. That's it. Two. It's
love
really easy.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
You're supposed to.
I'm gonna have to believe, slow that down. You remember the thing in Dick Tracy where they had the recorder in the thing, and the one guy talked really fast, and they had to slow it down to see what he said. Well, that's what I'm gonna have to do with that thing you just said.
It's believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and go out and get other Christians. That's it. Mm. Those are the only two things that you have to do as a Christian. That's it. You don't have to do anything else. There is nothing else mandated in any work of any Bible.
Might disagree with you on that one there.
Well, Jesus
it
said
is
that
believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
If you believe in Jesus,
I do.
You're going to heaven.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, go out
and make disciples.
That's it.
Who do you tell?
But he also
to?
Said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. And those are the right. two but laws take, that we're supposed
but you
to
can
uphold.
Take it. You can take it down to two basic things.
Mm-hmm.
Believe in Jesus, because if you mm-hmm. believe in Jesus without all the rest of that sentence there, mm-hmm. you're in, and you are supposed to go out and do the Great Commission.
And tell other people the good news.
That's right. That's it. So, in its simplest form, that's it. Now,
yeah.
we could talk about all the extra little things there, and we can get all scholarly and everything and read it and add all this word and that word and this sentence and that sentence, but the basic is mm-hmm. that's it. And that has to do with exactly what we're talking about right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone has a different opinion about exactly how to interpret. Here we are Christians, mm-hmm. and we have a different interpretation about something so very, very simple.
Yeah, and I think for me, like, the more that I learn about this stuff and, textual criticism in biblical studies, right? Like, it's the idea that you can interrogate the texts that we have, you can ask questions of it and, like, look at the original manuscripts and ask it to explain itself, you know, and not just, you know, like, you can interrogate these things. The more that I did that stuff, right, rather than having my faith be depleted, I felt my faith increasing, because for me, it felt like instead of sitting at the back of a pew with someone telling me how to think, me and Jesus were standing on a hill with the wind in my face, and he was asking me what I wanted to think. And that changed everything for me and the way that I approached the Bible, because it's as if I was finally given permission to allow these texts to have been written by fallible people, but still find the Spirit of God in it anyways.
That's a great point, because one of the things I wrote here at the very top of the page is even the apostles did not always have the understanding. You get the understanding when you get the understanding. When you do the work and you do things that you – it's like math.
Mm.
People that are really, really smart at math, their brains think a little bit differently than ours because they've expanded that part of their brain. And then there's other people that have studied other things, and there's musical mm-hmm. people, and that part of their brain is really big, and they can understand things that other people can't. So just because we can't, I think the more you study, the more you get an understanding, and the mm-hmm. more you allow yourself maybe.
And it's interesting to me. And like you said, I don't give a F about math. I freaking hate math, right? I don't like it. I just take it at face value. I'm not going to spend any time on quantum physics, man. I'm not doing it. When people tell me about particle theory, I'm like, I just trust you because I'm not going to go there. It's okay that some people, that's their approach to biblical studies, because that's maybe not the way their brain works.
Right.
And their Christianity makes them a better person. It helps them love their families. They don't need to worry about it. And that is cool. That is chill. Congratulations. That's fine. But if you're not that person, you have permission to be that person, right? And to be curious and to ask these questions.
Absolutely.
And if anyone can tell me, if anyone want to take the, you know, Hadron Collider and make it real simple, let me know. Or what is it?
Yeah, hadron.
Yeah, see, right? See what I'm saying?
Just maybe I'm wrong.
Accelerating particles to a super speed and collide them together.
Yeah. Is this the God particle you guys are talking about? The God particle?
Yes. Yeah. They're trying to find it.
They're
dark
crashing
matter.
Two cars and seeing what bits fall off.
Oh, good. Oh, see, there you go.
Perfect. Bits go into what
bits? There it is.
Andy. That's why I love Andy.
Yeah.
Because Andy's brain thinks about stuff that I would rather die because it gives me a headache.
Like, well,
I think
$9 billion probably or something like that.
Oh, yeah. The Hedron. Yes. I think it's called the Hedron Collider. Hydron Collider. Hedron Collider.
I want to say Hadron, the Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah. Why don't you Google it while we're standing here?
Yeah. Well, I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And it speaks to exactly what we're talking about, because it was what they said to the people and what was written to the people in their time for their understanding. Because, you know, think about how we teach our kids and how we talk to our kids about they hear something on the news.
Mm-hmm.
We don't say somebody took a gun and shoot him in the face and his face blew apart. We just don't. And we don't say, you know, we don't just explain the whole Bible and everything in theology to our kids. We tell them a simple story. And we get them on their journey, and then we help them along, and we help them start understanding.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with how people talked in the times of the Bible and how these stories were written, how we came about that, and then all of the misunderstanding, because I think the more intelligent we get, the dumber we get, because, you know, well, hey, I've got to know exactly how this happened. Well, no, you really don't, you know.
Unless you do, in which case do that, but don't expect everyone else to.
Because when you get in your car, you turn the ignition. You don't need to know how the whole car works. You
unless
just
you're
need
a
to
mechanic,
know
then I would hope you know.
What if I know how it works?
But for everybody else, you get in, you turn the key, you put your foot on the gas, you stick it in gear, and you go.
I'm trying to make a disciple in you and trying to tell you how it works, but
exactly.
You're not listening to me.
And there's people like you that just make people run away from Christianity.
Oh, hadron! By the way, I think TZ said it right. Did you say hadron?
No, I said hedron. So hadron. It's hadron, the hadron collider.
Yeah, hold on. Let me hold on. Give me one second.
Hadron.
Bang!
Hadron collider.
So we were all wrong. Yay!
I love that. See, you know what? Let's just take a moment and sit in that. We were all wrong. You know.
Dang it.
Well, you
I
know,
love it.
There's something that I was listening to, and I really liked it. There is no absolutism. God's the only absolutism there is. That's it. It starts and stops there. All the rest of us?
Mm-hmm.
See, weirdly, there is, and it's math. Math is
zinger.
Math is absolute. That's
2 + 2 is.
So if you think math is absolute, 5. Then I challenge you to explain 1 × 1, because 1 × 1...
You've got one of one thing. How many is that?
Yeah. So this it's the 1 × 1 theory is where math goes sideways for many people.
You have one of one thing. It's one. You have one of one thing.
Once again, math not my forte. Yeah. So I'm gonna sit here in the corner and not say anything.
2 × 1 is 2 of 1 thing.
All right.
3 × 1 is 3 of 1 thing.
So
that's all.
So all of this going back to the beginning is all started as oral tradition and is written and compiled by many and then changed over the years and interpreted and misinterpreted.
Is it interesting to anyone to talk about that? Just take a minute and talk about parchment and papyrus and how it was made and how these books
were.
Absolutely.
We talk about paper, I think of Waterworld and the guy that, I got paper. Remember the salesman guy with
I've
the little
I've not seen Waterworld since I was 12, brother.
Oh
what?
My gosh.
I need to revisit it? Kevin Costner. I remember his little gills.
I think about the plant in Canton.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
But he had pieces of paper that had been, like you're talking about, had been written on so much you almost had no room to write on it. But it was paper. It was dry paper that he had.
Or like having some earth.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because I think that's the interesting part of it for me is when you talk about these manuscripts.
I think it's fascinating. I would love it if
like
you would do
physical,
that.
Physical, archaeological finds. So we know that we used to write things in big rolls.
Yep.
That was how we used to do things. And you could do these big parchment rolls or you would do like paper rolls. And parchment is the skins of animals. And so when they started making books, they call them codices, codex. Whenever you've seen somebody call a codex, they're just talking about a book. So when you're doing biblical study and someone says like, oh, you know, the Berlin Codex, they're talking about a book that was found either by a person or by a place. And that's the name of it, right? So they had these parchments. It took something like 320 calves, skinned calves, to make like one book of the New Testament.
Good.
So they were like, this is not efficient. And so papyrus, which is what we have now, is they what they had, what they then went to, especially with codex and codices, codices plural, it's reeds. And they would tamp them down and they would make them really flat. And then they would line them up in strips. So they would do some strips that went parallel, right? And then they would do another strip that went horizontal. Vertical and horizontal. So sorry, horizontal strips and then vertical strips. And then what they would do is they would write on the horizontal side. And then if they ran out of room or if they needed to, they would write on the vertical side. And because paper was so difficult to make, you know, they didn't just throw it out. They kept it for things. And then when they started binding books, it got weird because if you've ever taken a bunch of paper and just laid it down and folded it, the pieces in the middle are going to stick out further. So then they would either cut those pieces, or they started figuring out like how to book bind and how to bind things in chunks that starts with a Q. I can't remember, but they would bind them in these chunks instead. And so that's one of the ways that we can date some of these materials is because by the way it was bound or by the way the parchment was cut,
right.
The technology they used, yeah, right. You know, and so, you know, we've got all these ancient texts that we found, especially like in, you know, Nag Hammadi. Where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in the caves?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They date these things. So you can date it by like how things are bound together, whether or not it's a scroll versus whether or not it's a codex. And it's not like books just replaced the roll all at one time. It's like not everybody got a smartphone on the same day. Some people kept a flip phone for a while. So whether or not something's bound in a book, it's not exactly the best way to date it, but it's probable. And then they have these other ways that they can tell how old something is because, again, paper wasn't ever thrown. They used it all the time because it was difficult to make. And there were periods of time Christianity fell in and out of favor with communities and with people, especially before it was the state religion in thanks to Constantine, right? So Christians were hiding.
Depending on who was in charge at the time.
Exactly. So what you have, these things, they call, it's like a, basically like you can tell that a piece of, you can sometimes tell that based on what it was written on the other side. So like you have maybe a piece of the Gospel of John, and then on the other side, you have a court document that says, oh, this court date took place, you know, in the reign of Marcus Aurelius and this and that. Now you know how old the piece of gospel you have is because the other side of the paper tells you what happened. Now, you don't know exactly how much before it was turned into a receipt that piece was written, but it had to be sooner than this. And then they also have these things where it had to be written after that, where like you can tell that the piece of paper had what had been used for something else, and then the other side has been used for a piece of gospel or something like, or people would sign it with their little, some scribes would sign it, you know, so you could in with their names or whatever, so you can kind of decide there. And it's also by handwriting. So to understand like the actual physicality of the texts that we call the Bible, it's important to know that there's a physical body, there's a physical text, there's a physical manuscript. And what do we know about these physical manuscripts, and how do we reckon with them? The vast majority of the good Bibles that we have now are from the Middle Ages, because in the Middle Ages, monks are the ones that started transcribing. Right? Monks, they were the ones that were taking these books. They were literate, they were educated, and their whole life was just dedicated to copying. So
sounds like a rough job, by the way, to do. Can you imagine just writing?
Can you imagine the Middle Ages?
Living in the fields and...
You know what, in the Middle Ages, you know what? No, you know what?
I think I might actually rather farm than just write all day.
No, look this up. The Middle Ages were so wretched that there are some women that chose to be buried in the foundation of a church. And they became the being that was bound, that lived inside that church and prayed for and sustained that church. And they would feed her, but she never left that. She was built the foundation. So to be a woman, to choose that
is in
your life.
Wildest thing I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, friggin' fascinating. Mm-hmm. So by the time we get to Middle Ages, we have all of these really great examples of this work, right? Like it's all really, really good because monks are doing this work. Monks are writing this stuff down. And so that's when everything starts to look the same and starts to be much more in line. Now, they're still human beings, so they still made some mistakes, like they put a period somewhere else or whatever, or didn't put a capital or whatever, although in Greek they didn't have that, but that's another story. So those ones, we're like, okay, cool, chill, these look good. But the oldest fragments that we have, the ones that are actually closest to the time that the stories were written, you know, because how long did a copy of a story last? We don't know. How long did a copy of a story last?
Well, some of them we have now. So
yeah,
a couple thousand years.
A couple thousand. We have fragments. We have a piece of some of it kind of like a, you know, but I mean, when the original story was written down in circa, I think 35 CE is like the first book that when we think the first one was written, you know, or not 35 CE, 95, excuse me, 95 CE, about 30 or 40 years after Jesus died. Probably.
Yeah, well, these guys were in their 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Yeah, so 95 CE is probably when like the first one was kind of like John was written. Maybe it's John was written down. Anyway, this is one of those times where like, Ralph, go do your research, right? Like, listener, don't just take my word for it. But so then there's this copy, that copy from 125 that we have, that little scrap that we have. It probably was like maybe the second or third copy.
Maybe, yeah.
Of it. But as it goes along, so all the copies that we have from the very beginnings, the oldest copies that we have from like the first, second, and third centuries, none of them are the same. They're all riddled with mistakes. They're all totally different, not totally different, but they're all different because those ones were not copied by experts that knew what they were doing. Those ones were copied by beloved people in the communities. And maybe the only reason you were the one copying it was because you knew how to read. And you were the only person in your community that knew how to read. So it was on you to copy the story down. And maybe you got a period wrong, or maybe you skipped a sentence. And then the next person that copied it, they also skipped that sentence. And then they also made their own mistakes. And then the next person made their own mistakes. So that by the, you know, so then we start trying to figure out like what was the original story and what was the mistake. And so that's why we all kind of, that's why we kind of do this work that we're doing.
And it's even kind of like fraught because if you have something that was verbally told for 100 years,
yeah,
the first written version of it might be the closest to the original, but that doesn't make it
the correct one.
Right.
Exactly. So maybe some of the things that we call mistakes are corrections that more information
that's
added
possible.
To the text. I mean, it's all possible. Yeah. We don't know.
So I got
so
a question
it's like so
for
amazing.
You.
Oh yeah. This episode is brought to you by Carolina Cases. Whether in your home, auto, suitcase, or hotel room, you can be assured that with Carolina Cases, you can protect what matters most. Carolina Cases are TSA approved, so you know your items are secured in a shock and impact proof hard case. These lightweight, durable cases come with pre-cut protective high quality foam to fit your pistols by make and model, compact size, or full size. They also come in a universal configuration for multiple options. Carolina Cases are more than a pistol case. They are available in fully customizable foam to protect what matters. You can go to their website at www.carolinacases.net to see their designer protective lid designs. Each is laser engraved to give you unmatched style at home or on the range. So protect what matters most. Visit www.carolinacases.net. That's www.carolinacases.net. And also, enter code Burrows at checkout to receive free shipping. That's right. Just enter the code Burrows at checkout and you'll receive free shipping.
So I got a question for you. Why is it we don't have any more books in the Bible? Why is it we stopped?
Well, are you talking about we? Because
Mormons.
I'm talking about the Bible that we all study today that is stopped at Revelation.
Why hasn't anyone added to it?
Because I have the same question about the Bill of Rights. You know, the founders put together these Bill of Rights. Can you imagine they came to life today and they said, "That's all you got? You didn't write anymore?" I mean, we didn't do this so that you could stop. And it's the same thing with the Bible. Why don't we have any more? It's a living, breathing document.
Well, is that a serious question?
Yeah, it's a serious question. Why aren't we writing more? Why aren't we putting more into the Bible? Why aren't we doing more? Why isn't somebody?
Because it's finished.
No, because the Catholic Church, whenever they decided to, the thing is, what landed in the Bible, we have all kinds of stuff.
It didn't stop in AD 70.
All kinds of stuff that people had. There's all kinds of texts that people had. We had the text of Susanna. We have like, you know, the text of the book of Enoch. And when we find these books bound together, we don't find any copies where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, Acts, Galatians, Ephesians, in the way that we all do it, we don't find them bound together. We find the book of John, the book of Acts, and then maybe the book of Susanna bound together. We find the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Luke, two of the epistles, and this book bound together. We don't find the Bible that we talk about today bound together. So you had all these different Christian communities. They had all these different beloved books. They had books that mattered more to them, that were probably more relevant to them based on the cultural challenges that they were experiencing. When you read Paul's epistles, you're talking about different churches that had different problems and were different cultures. But then the Catholic Church came along and did not behoove, well, not, excuse me. I'm not trying to rip on any Catholics, so I'm going to change my tone and I'm going to move away from
I'm okay with it because no, I grew but I mean, up that way.
I don't think it's fair to rip on Catholics, but
well,
when...
They were the main leadership group
when
in that period of
Constantine
time.
Constantine and, you know, the Council of Nicaea, 325 CE, when they started to sit down and say, okay, we need to have a unified Christianity because we can't handle all these different people having all these different thoughts. We can't have all these different versions of Christ because some people were more like Mark. Mark's Bible it's a very human Jesus. It's a very human Christ. John's Gospel is a much more deified Christ, talking about his godhood and his destiny as the son of his spiritual nature. So the church was like, okay, if we're going to make this a state religion, which is the point, they wanted to make it a state religion. They were like, we can't have all these people believing all these different things. We need to create a cohesion here. So they started having all of these councils and and that's why we have all of these creeds and all of these councils, because they sat back down and they debated and debated and debated. So when the Roman government finally fell, right, because the Visigoths and they'd separated, the church divided, you had the Greek Orthodox Church, you had the Roman Church, and Rome fell out. The Catholic Church continued to be a governing body for 1,000 years. 1,000 years.
Yeah, that's wild. You kind of forget that.
You forget that.
Well, yeah. Rome.
And so it behooved them as they were in this position. And I want to remove any practicing Catholics now from the way that the Catholics were doing it, the way that the popes and the bishops were doing it then. They were disgusting. Go read history.
Well, they weren't all disgusting.
They weren't all disgusting.
But they were married. They had families. I mean, the only reason why priests don't get married today, do you know why that is?
Oh, no, that I don't know.
Yeah, the reason why priests don't get married today is because 1,500 years ago, the church said, hey, the popes are dying and their kids taking the land.
Oh, wow.
We don't want that to happen anymore, so you can't get married so that they can't inherit the land. Oh, we want the land.
But it became a power struggle, like you're saying. Okay, so being a leader in the church became a position of authority and power. It wasn't about spirituality anymore. There were a few that were good, right? There were absolutely. There's always been a thread of light that has been woven through history ever since Christ came and left, right?
And none of them had complete control because there were cardinals there too. And the cardinals grew. They didn't start out with as many as we have today. But
once that book was codified, okay, you were murdered if you didn't follow that. You know, it wasn't like they were like, oh, this guy believes differently. You were a heretic and that was bad. You got kicked outside of the good graces of the church. They were burning people alive. Like, the reason that we haven't added anything is because when the church as a governing body decided that they were going to use religion as a way to govern people, they had to create a standard solid book that was unchanging and infallible and not able to be questioned, because if you were questioning it, if you were adding to it, if it was fallible, then so were they. And that's the problem.
And I like your point about controlling people.
It's about control. And so, I mean, I don't know. There were all kinds of theologies about Christ before. I mean, like, we can get into the finer points of it, but like, there were these giant conversations around the
I wish we still had.
Yeah, I wish
giant
we still
conversations,
did.
But I don't think we can.
Come to Notes from the Underground.
And that's because
we talk about all kinds of excuse me.
And I think that's because we're so splintered and fractured, and everybody believes what they believe, and nobody wants to change.
Well, and we're
afraid.
So
we can only hang on to what's there instead of doing something better, which is why we don't.
Well, and we're afraid. We're afraid that questioning our faith is going to undermine our faith, and that we're going to wind up atheists and go to hell. We're afraid that if we question it, it's gonna result in punishment.
And I think that's what this podcast is about. Mm. That's a perfect way to wrap up. Is questioning. Well, I think that the more you study, the more you have questions. And the more you get answers, the more questions you have.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've watched Rick since I first came here. And I remember in the beginning, he didn't speak up much. And he didn't have the conviction that he has developed. And you can tell that he studies regularly. He finds something and he goes down the rabbit hole with it and he studies as much as he can, and he has developed the strength and the conviction of his beliefs. And I don't believe in everything that he has. He doesn't believe in everything I have, but we can come together.
Oh yeah.
and appreciate one another's belief because we believe in the same God.
Yep.
And most of what's in there, we believe the same way.
Right.
And I'm not saying I'm a preterist, but I will tell you that the day that I went up to Berean and they started talking about Matthew 24, I'm like, that's a question that I asked a priest when I was 19 years old. And that is the question I asked. And that is the reason I left the church, because he said you have to have faith and he wouldn't give me an answer. I said, I don't care what the answer is. I don't care if it's crazy and I can't repeat it to anyone ever. I just want to know what it is. And he's, you just have to have faith. And I'm like, well, then I'm going to go find me a new church.
Yeah.
So I think everyone in here brings their own point of view. Even Andy. Ha!
I do not have a point. I have a view, but no point.
Yeah.
But, you know, Andy, it's funny. Sometimes Andy can cut to the heart of the matter.
Oh, he does.
He can tell. It's funny. We're in here talking about all of this and existential and this and this and all this other stuff. And Andy says, yeah, but it's still blue.
Yeah, right?
You know?
No matter how theological you get, Andy will jerk your chain right back and go, wait a minute.
We're going to be good for something. Yeah.
So what we want you all to do is we want you to read. We want you to study. We want you to listen to this podcast, listen to other podcasts, write in with questions, because there's probably some things out there that you have questions about that we haven't dealt with that we probably ought to get to, and we're so down our rabbit hole that we haven't thought of that. So, you know, write in, let us know what you think, and just keep going. And I want to thank everybody that's
I swear someday we're going to have a couple of individual email addresses, apparently. That's been in the works for a while.
Well, no, you don't need one for me.
Yeah. Not everybody.
They won't like my answers.
Well, only the people that want
They've been
one.
Updating our website for like years now.
Well, I want to thank everyone from Andy the Rocket Man.
Pacow. Sorry, I was late.
Rick Big Daddy Carter.
Well, thank you, Ralph. I appreciate it.
Billy I Candy Kimsey.
Bye.
Tiziana, Mom So Hard.
Eat your broccoli.
And I'm Ralph Hicks, straight out of Compton. Woo! Represent Jesus, and have a great day.
See you next time, folks.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Cool.
Hey, guys, this is Rick from the Burrows of Berea. A lot of people have been asking us, hey, what is this Patreon thing? Our old Patreon ad didn't work very well, so here you go, guys. Go to www.patreon, that is patreon.com. Let me do that again. patreon.com/theburrowsofberea. If you go to the Patreon page, you will find that we have different levels that you can give at. We have a $3 level, a $5 level. We've got a $10 level and a $20 level. I thought about putting a $1,000 level there, but you never know how that's going to work out, right, Andy?
Well, I think that's the Hail Mary that all artists are a part of when they're like, I painted a thing. I put real work and time into it. I'm not saying people don't, but then they're like, $5,000.
That's right. So go to www.patreon.com/theburrowsofberea and give us all of your money.
Even a little bit, we'll be fine.
Yeah, and that 5,000 wouldn't hurt me either.
No, it would hurt nobody.
Thanks, guys.
In the upside down pineapple, but
I don't know. Yeah,
it's Ralph's like, wait a minute, what upside down pineapple?
Oh, the tables have turned.
I've got a friend that makes some.
That's funny.
Some good upside down pineapple.
Carter is giving me all these like hilarious pizza with pineapple memes now, and they're really funny.
Yeah. Oh, my aunt I need would to
put
see.
Coconut in hers.
Huh?
Upside down pineapple.
Oh, okay.
No. Not coconut pizza. Hey, I put cashews on pizza. It's an old recipe from Pizza Hut. Yeah.
I bet it's probably good.
Frankly. Pizza Hut cashew special. It was pepperoni, sausage, onions, black olives, and cashews.
And is this mic? This mic's pretty hot, isn't it?
And it was wonderful. Oh,
I know. You could have it close. It's just...
Only when it's next to you,
yeah,
fella.
Yeah, yeah. Bring
That's
it up.
Hot now. Yeah. Oh, it's hot now.
It's getting hot in here.
All right, Nelly.
Bring it up when you're talking, for sure. It's just when you're not talking, you can just push it away a little bit if you
want. Did you see the double rainbow?
Nope.
Is it Billy went outside and took a piss, and it made a double rainbow. I'm not even joking.
And the Skittles came out.
It must have been the weird coincidence of the clouds parting. I'm dead serious. There's the most incredible double rainbow outside over the studio right now.
Really?
Double rainbow. And you know that the second rainbow is always like a little bit squidgy. Yep. No, this one is for real.
Oh,
you
can see. I have to go now because
double,
they could.
Yeah, no, you got to go.
I will. I got to take these dogs anyway. I'm going to release them onto Kristen and she can feed them because I forgot.
So
you're rolling though. Just I'll walk in here in a minute just to take off. I won't be long. I just want to get rid of these animals because they're hungry.
Well, today.